You're listening to episode 5 of the 360 Vegas Podcast. Check out our blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio.
Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo. Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want to gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
Finalizing a couple Vegas things coming up. How about you?
I'm getting down there, man. And actually, you know what? You and I have been talking about a few things, about maybe rooming for a night or two. And my resort reservations, of course, have changed again and are probably subject to change another time before we get there.
What changes do you have now?
I'm staying at New York, New York now. So,
holy
yeah.
Shit. Yeah, you are. Well, that's pretty cool. I've never seen a New York, New York room, so that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely. And we're back a little bit closer to the Strip there. We're on the Strip, so.
Right, right. Yeah, we are going to be staying at Bill's Gambling Hall, formerly Barbary Coast, so we're really excited about that on Saturday. So we can kind of finally experience the boutique hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard nothing but good things about it. Also finalized our rental car, so we're going to go up to see the Neon Boneyard on Wednesday, and then I'm going to take Karen and Justin around to see a couple of off-strip resorts that they've never been to. Specifically, Karen has never been anything other than the Las Vegas Strip and Fremont Street. So really excited about that. Got our VIP passes for the bank nightclub at Bellagio, so it's starting to become real, and I'm getting really, really excited about it.
Yeah, as are we. Yeah. So, how about some random Vegas to start off the show?
Once again, Wynn stepped up and gave us our random Vegas information this week. The Cirque show, Le Rêve, that they have at Wynn, it uses a 27-foot deep pool that is kept at exactly 89 degrees Fahrenheit during its show.
I wonder what the significance is of it having to be exactly a certain degree level.
I don't know. Where were you when they gave me this? So I could have followed up with a question like that. My guess is simply because they want it to be... I mean,
maybe performer comfort. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It's got to be for the performers, but I don't know how that can keep them more comfortable. I mean, they're obviously moving around a lot. Their body temperatures are going to be high anyway. Let's put them in a bathtub, too. Why not?
Yeah, right. Good point.
Interesting. Well, thank you for the random Vegas nugget for the week. How about the twit pick for this week? I was actually not as involved in the process, but you had, looks like you had a couple on the table here.
Yeah. This week's twit pick of the week winner came to us from at LisaMP22, and it came to us in a rather unique way. Bellagio was holding a contest last week encouraging people to submit their best Bellagio picks for a chance to be the property's Twitter avatar for a week. And I was kind of scouring those pictures to see if there was anything that would qualify for the, you know, our podcast twit pick of the week. And I found several of them, including one that LisaMP22 had submitted. So after I nominated her for twit pick of the week, she replied directly to me and said, or at least she, you know, copied me in and sent me another picture from the top of Mandalay Bay at the Mix Lounge for our consideration. And it just blew me away. I mean, the picture is of the Las Vegas Strip at night from the top of Mandalay Bay. And it is the kind of photo you would expect to get at a Las Vegas souvenir shop. I mean, it's amazing. Check it out. It's going to be on our blog. It's on the Flickr page. And as always, the featured picture on the enhanced version of our podcast. So thanks a ton at LisaMP22. Phenomenal shot.
Yeah, thank you very much for sending that to us. And everybody else who sent us pictures every week, thanks a lot for doing that. We certainly appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Again, welcome back to episode 5 of the 360 Vegas Podcast. I am Brian, and with me is one of my best friends and the co-host of the podcast, Mark. Mark, welcome back for another week.
Hello, thank you.
We've got some good news this week, so let's get into it. we got a few interesting things to cover this week. First of which being kind of a surprise to me, and that's the level of international visitors that Vegas is seeing every year.
Yeah. International visitors make up 27% of tourism revenue in Las Vegas. Five specific countries have shown double-digit increases in 2010. They are Canada, Australia, Germany, France, South Korea, and then the most surprising, China. Now, most of these countries, the reason you're seeing an increase can be attributed to a relaxed visa restrictions, as well as increase in nonstop flights from their respective countries to Vegas. However, China, despite having Macau and Singapore in their backyard, which are currently the number one and number three markets in the world, and arguably the
only competition for Vegas.
Oh yeah, they're the it children right now in the gambling world. But these people are still visiting Las Vegas. I mean, they've increased 38% in 2010, and they're expected to increase over the next 4 years by 219%. Now, I spoke with the author of the article that we got this information from, Anna_Huddleston is her Twitter handle, and just inquired, like, why do you think that China is still considering to, you know, or still coming to Las Vegas despite having Macau and Singapore right in their backyard? What do you think, Brian? Why do you think that China would still be visiting us?
I'm not sure. Maybe it's comfort zone. Maybe they just prefer the way the American casinos operate over, you know, Macau and Singapore's casinos. I'm not really familiar with how they do operate, but there's clearly a draw somewhere. And maybe it's just the fact that they're getting out of their home country and that's really the vacation for them. You know, I don't really know.
Right, right. Neither did Anna and neither did I, but she brought up an interesting point in that, you know, yes, obviously Macau is there, Singapore is there, but regardless of how opulent they are and amazing and catering to the high-end Asian gambler, it's still not Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, Macau at one point was the Chinese Las Vegas, and now Singapore is the Asian Las Vegas. But it all still boils down to, it doesn't matter what you build and how beautiful and amazing it is, you still can't replicate the Las Vegas experience.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, yeah, I mean, that kind of goes along with just kind of the way that Vegas operates, their casinos operate, and that's been the way that it's been for a long time. Is that it's had this certain appeal, mm-hmm. You know, it's got this feel to it when you're there that really it's you know, probably impossible for another area to duplicate the feeling.
Right. I mean, it's the lore that brings us all back.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, great article. As always, it'll be that we'll have a link on our blog. Thank you, Anna Huddleston, for not only the article but the conversation.
Definitely. Incubus on live stream. This piece of news actually really interested me because I am a big fan of Incubus. I know you are too.
Yeah, I am as well.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay, now Incubus will be streaming their concert live at the Joint at Hard Rock when they do their performance on October 8th. It's a live video camera capturing the information streaming on the internet. Now, they also have an iPhone app on iTunes. It's free. We also have that link on the blog. But when I started doing the research for this, obviously I'm starting to test out all these things. You can view it live online on your computer, or you can do it on the app. And one of the disappointing things that I ran into is that I could never get a signal to their live show. It just kept saying that there was no mobile signal available. I could see it online if I went to my laptop, but I couldn't see it on the iPhone app, which I thought was incredibly disappointing. But still a great idea. Like I said, I was able to check out a couple other live streams just to see what it was all about. I think it's a great idea. It just looks like the popularity of Incubus makes it difficult to stream that live signal there. So,
mm-hmm. Hopefully they can work that out.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially by the time they get to Vegas. Because what they ended up doing is, as I was researching this, I learned that they had a live concert that night. And that's why I tried to test it out immediately there. So, yeah, I mean, there's still some time before October. Hope they get to work that out. That'd be fun to watch them live on that.
Definitely. Okay, so you were telling me Steve Freese actually had an opportunity to take a tour of the plaza. Tell me more what you learned about that.
Okay, like he did with Encore after it opened, Steve Freese was able to take a hard hat tour of the new plaza and all the renovations that they've done. Steve Freese, for those of you who don't know, runs the Strip podcast. He's also on Vegas Happens Here blog and a freelance journalist that is based out of Las Vegas. So on this tour, he was led by CEO Tony Santos to go over some of the things that have already been completed, some of the things they've got up and coming. Steve was able to record the walking tour and has an enhanced podcast available with pictures to go with the tour. Santos explains while they're on this walking tour why they aren't changing the name back to Union Plaza as planned and why the renovations ended up costing $35 million instead of the original projected $20 million. If you don't want to or you can't view the enhanced podcast, there's also a link to the set of pictures on Steve's Flickr page, which are the exact same pictures that are in the enhanced podcast. It is awesome. I mean, it's very, very exciting things that they're doing at the Plaza. I can't wait to go see it. Have you had a chance to check out either the enhanced podcast or the pictures?
I haven't yet, no.
It's good stuff. If you get a chance, check it out. Like I said, it's available on Flickr. I think it's Scoop LV is his Flickr handle, but regardless, we have a link on the podcast to not only his blog, the Enhanced Podcast, but all the links that he has therein on the Vegas Happens Here blog. It's really cool, Brian. They've done a great, great job with the renovations here. They've gotten lucky with some really great high-end stuff that they got at a reasonable price because of the never-to-open Fountain Blue. It's good stuff, man. I am super, super excited now to go see the Plaza and what they've done with that place.
I'm still keeping my my fingers open for an extra squishy soft opening.
I think we are all rooting for that excessively flaccid opening, so you can partake in that.
Yeah, I'll have to send them a tweet and say, "Hey,
yes,
let me in,
please.
Let me in."
Actually, you know what? You might be able to get in because if you recall, this place hasn't been closed.
Yeah, they never closed.
I don't know if they've officially locked the doors in the last month or two. So you might still do that. Maybe we'll try that when you come down.
Yeah, we'll check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Binions is filming a new show. Casino Confidential, is it?
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with the network, but a new Cineflix series called Casino Confidential is currently filming through the end of July at Binions. Now, what the show is doing is it's going behind the scenes at Binions, and it's documenting the people that work for the property and basically what it takes to run a casino. I've always been fascinated to see what goes on behind the scenes at a Vegas casino, so I'm hoping we get to see some pretty cool shit with this.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye out for that.
Definitely.
Hash House A-Go-Go location at the new Plaza.
Yeah. On Wednesday, Vegas Inc. confirmed that Hash House A-Go-Go will be opening its fourth location at the Plaza when it reopens September 1st. It will be located where the old buffet was at the Plaza. It's exciting news. I mean, especially after they lost Firefly, Hash House A-Go-Go has really kind of been on a roll. They used to be a property that was just off strip on Sahara Avenue and Rainbow Boulevard. And then they expanded into strip properties with M Resort and then Imperial Palace. And now opening up the new Plaza, it's exciting news. I've never been to a Hash House A-Go-Go, but I've heard tons of good stuff for it. So, like I said, just more exciting information coming out of Plaza. They have plenty of other things that they spoke about on the podcast that they weren't ready to reveal at that time. So there's lots of fun new secrets coming out. Looking forward to it. This whole thing is getting so excited for Vegas coming up. As if it wasn't already exciting enough, the fact that I'm keeping up with, you know, all the goings-on in Las Vegas, it just makes the trip even more enjoyable.
Absolutely. So MGM's Neighborhood. I'm not sure what I think about this, but I'll let you elaborate a bit on this.
Okay. All right, so Mandalay Bay, Luxor, Excalibur, and New York, New York are now being marketed by MGM as, quote-unquote, the Neighborhood. Now,
All right.
So, this is one of the things that I kind of liked about it. First off, I thought it was really ridiculous. And had remarked about that on Vegas Tripping's website. But the more I thought about it, the more I kind of started to appreciate it. I mean, ultimately, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's just marketing and...
Right.
But the more I thought about it, the more I thought this was kind of clever. Think about it from this point of view. When you think about a neighborhood, it's supposed to be relatively similar as far as buildings go with a diversity of people learning to live together. And in this case, I kind of thought, if you look at it as the exact opposite, they're incredibly diverse buildings with very similar people walking through them. I mean, Mandalay Bay, does kind of cater to a more affluent client, but the rest of them are kind of hovering in the same area. So now think about the architecture of a Mandalay Bay, and then next door to that you have a pyramid following a castle, and then the New York skyline. I actually kind of like it. I mean, it's like I said, it's marketing. It doesn't really matter. However, the one thing that I thought was hilarious, and I cannot give them a pass for this, they described it as, quote, ideally located right in the middle of the South Strip.
It's like, it reminds me of the line in Anchorman where Fantana goes, it works 60% of the time, every time.
Exactly. That. Oh, what a great analogy. Yeah, absolutely. Being at South Strip is not an advantage or ideally in any way, shape, or form. But other than that, you know, it's like I said, it's marketing. It really doesn't matter. But I liked, once I let it sit with me for a little bit, I liked the idea of the contrasting buildings being grouped together and referred to as the neighborhood. So,
and moving along.
Yes.
So the Venetian's announcing plans to renovate.
Yeah, Vegas Tripping reported on Wednesday that Venetian will renovate its high-end suites, the Renaissance, the Prima, and the Piazza suites. The penthouse suites are not going to be included in this upgrade, and there's no word on when renovations will be done, but Vegas Tripping guesses probably mid to late 2012. So some more exciting information. You and I have always been a fan of keeping your property up. There's no reason to always build. You just got to keep things fresh, keep them exciting. Yep. So I'm a big fan of this.
Yep, as am I. Staying on the Venetian, this one, I kind of figured this would be coming at some point or another.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how soon, but the Venetian is going to be giving, they actually have started giving some comps out already.
Correct, yeah. And once again, Vegas Tripping reported that after months of not receiving any offers from the Venetian via their new marketing strategy.
Pay rack rates.
Right, exactly. They decided they were only going to comp the highest tier players. Vegas Tripping received his first comped offer for rooms and $125 in match play, which was almost exactly what they were sending out comps for to the mid-tier gambler previously. Now, the Venetian has been feeling the effects of this shift in their marketing policy.
As we said they would.
Of course. They, in some cases, pulled already booked comped offers. In some cases, earlier this year when they made that switch.
That was so ridiculous.
Yeah, and they made it in a very public announcement regarding the change. It's surprising that they didn't do the same when they decided to switch back. You know, why didn't they make such a big deal about this instead of kind of just sliding them in there and like, let's not talk about the huge fuck-up we just did. You know, let's just, here's your comp offer and let's forget everything that just happened. But the one thing that I wondered is if Venetian's policy change will have any lasting damages. I mean, do you think that now that they're offering the comps again, that people will return right away, or will they continue to stay away?
No, I think it's going to be kind of in the middle. I think it may take a few people a little bit of time to come around before they start going back, but mainly because they're just not announcing it the way they did before. But people like to stay where it's free. I mean, that's really the bottom line.
Yeah, I agree. I think there will be some lingering effects, but at the same time, I think the fact that they've started doing the comps again, I think is a victory for the people who stayed away. So there's no reason to continue to punish the property if they're going to start comping your rooms and offering some match play.
Right. And you said it was a pretty dramatic change in their revenues, right?
The casino revenues were down 47% during the change in policy. So we reported back on that when the numbers first started coming out and knew that this was literally just a matter of time. Because their whole bullshit was they wanted to stop devaluing the name of the property. And while their rack rates did, or at least their average daily rate did go up a little bit because now they were charging everybody, the massive decline in revenue coming in from the casino and the restaurants, et cetera, just it really wasn't worth what they felt was so important.
You know, the big boom in Vegas that happened over the past 20 years or so, it wasn't solely due to, but it was largely, I think, due to the accessibility for people to come down and not have to drop all their coin on a room and they can put it in the machines instead, you know?
Absolutely. And what's happened in, I'd say, the last 10 years, when revenues started to gain a foothold and overtake the casino, you know, the gambling revenues as the most profitable things that a property offers and makes money off of, it kind of caused a huge shift in things where now all of a sudden just giving rooms away wasn't as important to them because now they saw those numbers and how they affected, you know, the overall profit margin and forgot that the important part is you get people there and then they'll not only gamble, but they'll spend money on those things. I understand your room rates are higher and you make more money off them and there's a dollar amount you can point to and say, look how great we are. But those room rates were only able to be raised because you had created such a demand from when gamblers would go to Vegas and they would gamble and then do all the other things there. Well, if you're going to gouge them from the jump, well, they're either not going to come or they're not going to spend as much. You know, you've got to understand that even though the casino revenue isn't the cash cow that it once was, it's still the center of that universe. You still have to get people there to start gambling and then spend money on everything else. You know, you cop them a few nights and then they pay for the rest of the nights. I mean, it all works almost symbiotic together.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
So moving on to some other interesting news here. Insert Coins has an 80s costume contest every Wednesday going on now.
Yeah. The best costume wins a free bottle of booze. Now, I couldn't get any details on the style of booze, whether it's, you know, well or top shelf.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find out that the person that runs the Insert Coin social media is relatively saucy. I couldn't get a straight answer out of this person for multiple tweets. And, like, every time I would ask a question, like, for instance, part of the exchange was, hey, by the way, what's the free bottle that they're offering? And he's like, it's booze. I'm like, I know it's booze. What kind of booze is it? And just back and forth multiple times. And I was like, listen, all I want to do is share this with the listeners of our podcast. Can you please just tell me? Can you just answer my question, please? So
yeah,
we eventually.
Nowhere.
Yeah. And as you see, we still didn't get the answer to the question. So
if we ever do, we'll forward it along. But
absolutely,
don't hold your breath.
Right.
Vegas' 10 most extravagant hotel rooms. Now, this interests me a lot, and even though I can never, it's likely I'll never be able to afford to stay at these places, but I'm still very interested in them.
Yeah, oh, I'll never be able to afford them either, absolutely. But it was really interesting to see what a lot of these things are, because a lot of times if you can afford to actually go to these places, you're never going to actually know what they look like. I'm not going to go over all of them. The article's fantastic. I encourage anybody to go to the blog and check out, you know, click on that link, check out that story. But I wanted to go over a couple that I thought were particularly interesting. Caesar's Octavius Villas. Now, this is the building that isn't done yet. It's, you know, the outside.
Who knows when it'll be done?
That's true. The outside facade appears to be done, but the inside is largely just open. I mean, they, you know, when the economy hit, they cleaned up the outside. But as the economy continued, they thought it would make a ton of sense if they at least finished off the bottom floors, which were, you know, these high roller areas. Now, each of these villas at the Octavius Tower, they cost about $15 million to create, and they go for $40,000 a night.
That's just outrageous.
It's by far the most expensive place that you can rent in Las Vegas. I mean, it's the most expensive room in Las Vegas. It's mind-blowing. They look exactly like you would fathom Greece to look at the height of its opulence with the massive columns. And, I mean, these places are huge.
Rome?
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry. Rome. Yeah, Rome.
This isn't a fucking history show, man.
Yeah, exactly. And I've never been a huge fan of Caesars anyway, so whatever.
Yeah, take your $40,000 a night.
Yeah, I know. That's fucking insane. Like, you almost want to see the people that end up renting that. Like, really? $40,000? Why don't you just buy a fucking condo around here?
$40,000 yeah, you got that kind of scratch to blow on a room per night. That's
yeah, exactly. Anyways, moving on. Now, Encore has a luxury duplex. It's on the 63rd floor of the property, and it's next to the Sky Casino, which I didn't even know existed, because
don't know.
Exactly. It requires a $300,000 credit limit just to enter the Sky Casino. And that's fucking crazy, man.
Way to
go, Encore. And then the last one, we've actually been able to enjoy video of this, the Cosmopolitan Bungalows. We were able to see it on YouTube. We sent a link to that. It has direct access to the day nightclub. It's three stories, and hell, you even get your own private jacuzzi. Those run about $15K a night, but from what I've seen, I've seen the pictures in this article for the Octavius Villas, and we've seen the video of the Cosmopolitan Bungalows. Fucking hands down, if I had scratched a blow like that, I would definitely stay at that bungalow. That place is a trip.
Yeah. I don't know if any place is worth that much money to just sleep in. But
absolutely,
I mean,
not. No way. Yeah.
But it's still pretty cool.
Yep. And the last piece of information we had, I finally was able to find the article that confirmed this. The joint at Hard Rock was named the hottest club in America by Billboard. Now, when they officially announced this, I don't know, I think it was like 2 weeks ago on Twitter, I couldn't find the article, whether it be on Google, on Billboard.com. I couldn't find it anywhere. And I had conversations with Hard Rock saying, hey, do you have a link to the to the story? I want to report this. And they couldn't do it. And I started to, in my own mind, be like, no, Hard Rock wouldn't lie about this, right? And I got lucky on another Google search, which is why this wasn't on your show notes, because I finally found it. Billboard called Hard Rock's concert venue the best club in North America for live entertainment because not only does it have great sight lines, they do phenomenal promotions of the acts that they have in there, and there's just an intangible that equates to a cool vibe in and of itself. Now, the new joint replaced its namesake 2 years ago. They had an original joint that was, it was a pretty popular venue, but then the Palms came out with the Pearl and kind of one-upped them and started stealing all those big-name acts that when they would come to Las Vegas to play and they needed a solid, awesome venue to play at, now they started going to the Pearl instead of Hard Rock. Well, when they came out with the new joint, it kind of, drove a stake in between that. Now, between the Palms and Hard Rock, you're kind of splitting the top-tier talent. But according to Billboard, the joint is currently the winner of that. Now, it's been widely praised, not only for the acts that are coming into it, but the show's production. The facility is so impressive that despite its 4,000-seat capacity, one of the first acts to play in the new joint was Paul McCartney. So if that doesn't say something, a guy who can fill out stadiums decided to have a concert in this tiny venue. It says kind of a lot for the property. So I'm glad I was able to finally bring this information with some kind of
some validity.
Yeah, a source document to actually point to with some details. So that story will also be linked on the site. And congratulations, Joint, on your accolades.
Absolutely. It's going to conclude our news portion. Let's move on to Playing Vegas. Now, Playing Vegas is the portion of our show where we discuss some unique experiences that you can be you can enjoy over the next week in Vegas, non-residency performances that you can take advantage of.
Yeah, it's a special kind of event, something that isn't there all the time, say it's your favorite band or something. I mean, all of these venues in Las Vegas, I mean, we just spoke about the Joint and the Pearl, but that by no means covers all of the phenomenally intimate, just amazing venues that these acts are able to perform in, and that's what Playing Vegas is. If you're going to Vegas next week, this is a unique opportunity for you to check out a couple of these names.
Okay. So performing Thursday through Saturday this week, Anthony Clark will be at the Playboy Comedy Club at Palms. That show is going to start at 10 o'clock, and there will be an additional show at Saturday at 8 p.m. Those tickets will range from $47 to $68.
Mm-hmm. And on Friday, Ben Folds is playing at the Boulevard Pool at Cosmopolitan. His show is going to start at 8 p.m., and those tickets run $35 for general admission or $1,500 for a cabana. That would be so cool.
Yeah, definitely. And
then also on Friday, CeeLo Green is going to be at Wet Republic at MGM. His show is going to start at 5, and the tickets run about $20.
Friday and Saturday, David Spade will be performing at the Venetian. His show will start at 9 p.m., and tickets will range $66 to $176.
And then lastly, on Saturday, Bob Dylan is at the Pearl at Palms. His show is going to start at 8 p.m., and tickets run $100 to $220.
That's going to wrap up Playing Vegas. Let's move on to our jackpot segment. Jackpot is probably our favorite, where we discuss any and all jackpots that have been reported to us via Twitter. Anything that comes to us via Twitter, we throw it on here, and we kind of total up a month-to-month tally for who is the luckiest casino in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that our recent conversations about, you know, kind of the momentum we're getting with this segment, that it's now starting to spread out, because we had another fantastic week. Lots of properties reported jackpots that don't frequently report them. Mm-hmm. And we've even got a new leader for the first time. But let's get into, we'll start off with Monday, July 4th. Caesars Palace reported a $100,000 jackpot in their high-limit slot parlor. That was all the information we could get on that. But $100,000 Caesars, thanks for chiming in.
Yeah, and we don't normally get any information. Well, we get some information from Caesars, but they're not very often. So.
Right, exactly.
Planet Hollywood reported a $20,000 jackpot on a bonus poker game, as well as a $40,000 jackpot on a triple-double machine. Royal Flush is on both of those.
Usually, yeah. Paris reported a $30,000 jackpot on a $1 Golden Theater Deluxe machine and a $10,000 jackpot on a $1 10 times pay machine.
Rio reported a $20,000 jackpot on a 50-cent Keno machine, 8 for 8 on the numbers.
I'll never understand Keno, but obviously, I mean, we know it's some kind of a lottery type game, but 8 for
right.
8, well done, dude.
Yep.
And then the last one on Monday, Imperial Palace reported a $20,375 jackpot on a penny Hot Shots Blazing Sevens progressive machine.
That's awesome. On
I
a
know.
Penny machine.
Exactly.
Moving on to Tuesday, July 5th, Planet Hollywood reported a $12,500 jackpot on a triple-double diamond real slot machine.
Excalibur reported a $23,756 jackpot on a Three Wilds cash machine and a $10,000 jackpot on a Bally slot.
Binion's reported a $1,250 jackpot on a $5 Wheel of Fortune machine. For $5 a spin, $1,250 really isn't, I don't know.
Couldn't agree with you more.
I would take it, but I don't know. It's kind of a weak payout.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, $5 Wheel of Fortune machine, yeah, that's almost like you have to believe with a $1,200 jackpot on something like that. Did the guy even break even?
Yeah, it's not likely.
No, not at all. But, okay, moving on to Wednesday, Riviera reported an $8,796 jackpot on a $5 double diamond slot.
Also on Wednesday, Palms reported a $12,000 jackpot on a double-double bonus poker machine.
And then on Thursday, July 7th, Palms reported a $10,000 jackpot on a double-double bonus poker machine.
Circus Circus reported a $25,000 jackpot on a $1 Quicksilver machine. Hey, Circus Circus reported the machine.
Like I said, there's no reason to believe that our request for this information is actually making an impact in Vegas, but you know, it makes me smile to think that maybe that's the case.
It just so happened
right.
We got some more info from Circus Circus.
That's right. And then also on Thursday, Rio reported a $100,000 jackpot on a high roller bonus poker machine.
And wrapping up the week, Friday, July 8th, Paris reported an $11,086 jackpot on a $1 progressive cash wheel slot.
Yeah, so let's go to the leaderboard. This is what we've got so far as the luckiest casinos in Vegas via Twitter reports.
For July, right.
For July, yes. And we've got some ties here. Now, ultimately, we have a tiebreaker, but at this point in the game, there's no reason to not give everybody the glory for reporting as much as they have.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start it off with the number one right now. There's a tie. And the person we alluded to earlier, who's never been in the first place at any point, Planet Hollywood has reported 4 jackpots for $82,000. And Palms has also reported 4 jackpots for $83,430.
Bringing up the number two position is Paris with 3 reported jackpots for $51,086 in payouts.
And then we've got a 3-way tie for third place. The Flamingo has reported 2 jackpots for $12,549. Excalibur has reported 2 jackpots for $33,756, and Rio has reported 2 jackpots for $120,000. So a lot of activity. Really happy to see that that's come back, and happy to see some people like Flamingo, Excalibur, Paris reporting a bunch, Planet Hollywood reporting a bunch. So
Caesars reported one.
Yeah, I know. Hey, welcome to the game, Caesar.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've got a good start for July. We'll keep an eye on that, and hopefully we'll continue to see the same kind of activity on Twitter for jackpots.
Agreed.
Vegas Deals is the next portion of our show where we discuss ways you can save a few bucks at Vegas. Whether it's on, you know, drinks or food or shows, we'll report it here. And when you're planning your trip, you can try to keep these in mind, save a few dollars. So $5 Luxor t-shirts at the LX Logo Store inside Luxor every Tuesday and Thursday. So yeah, if you need a t-shirt, $5.
Yeah, not bad.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
The Sugar Factory at Paris has 2-for-1 drink specials during their happy hour, which is daily from 4 to 7.
P.F. Chang's is offering free lettuce wraps throughout the month of July. All you have to do is like that deal on their Facebook page. This deal has been pretty successful so far, and they are asking that not everyone run out at once since the deal is going on all month. So if you're looking for that in Vegas, Planet Hollywood does have a P.F. Chang's in it.
Yep. Tropicana is still offering their $200 in free play. The offer was originally reported back in December, and it's still going strong. It's a deal for new members only, which is the only drawback, new members to their Players Club, that is. If you lose $200 on slots, video poker at Tropicana, you can get $100 back in free play immediately and another $100 when you return a month or more later. All you need to do is have your Players Club card, go play the game of your choice, you know, lose $200, go to the Players Club kiosk immediately, insert your card, and you'll immediately get the $100 in free play. And it starts the timer 30 days plus, you'll have another 100 automatically credited to your account.
Mandalay Bay is now offering charging stations located in the valet areas to people driving electric vehicles. There's no word to us as to whether or not there's going to be a charge for this, but I like it. I like the green initiative here.
Yeah, why not? Ellis Island offers $1 craft beers and $2 well drinks from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Thursdays. Now, their craft beers, they actually have an in-house brewery, so you would get to try, you know, their own stylings for a dollar apiece. But
yeah, I'm all over that. Ellis Island has good food, too.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
MGM Resorts Anti-Deals. this has got an interesting title. MGM Grand has increased the cost of its buffet during the week from $27.99 to $29.99. as well as $35.99 on weekends. And Luxor has also stopped servicing weekend brunch and offering all-day beverage wristbands. So the anti-deal is what we're calling this one. This is not how you can save money. This is how you can pay more.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to make people aware of it. So with all the great deals that we have, we also want to help you to save money by not continuing to patronize things like this.
Yes. That's going to wrap up our Vegas deal segment. Let's move on to our coming attractions. Now, coming attractions is the portion where we discuss shows that are going to be coming up in the future. Again, non-residency acts, unique experiences to be had, but a little bit more advanced notice.
Yeah. We don't really have that many this week. Field of Dreams will be screened at the Boulevard Pool at Cosmopolitan this Monday, July 11th. The doors are going to open at 7. The show starts at 8. Admission is free, and snacks and drinks are available for purchase.
Led Zeppelin tribute band will be performing at House of Blues at Mandalay Bay on Wednesday, August 31st. That show is going to start at 6:30, and $13 is what it'll cost you to get in.
And then lastly, Blondie is coming to Mandalay Bay Beach Saturday, October 8th. That show is going to start at 8 p.m., and the tickets run $45.
That's going to wrap up our show.
Yeah.
Episode 5 in the can.
Yeah, feels good. Got a lot of good information here.
Yeah, really interesting stuff. For any of you who want to check out more on some of these topics, please go to our blog at 360vegaspodcast.com. You can click on the links to any of the topics that we've discussed today for more info. You can follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/360vegas. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you like the show or if you don't like it, please rate us on iTunes. We love the feedback. We want to continue to do the things that you find us to do well and not do the things that you don't like.
Right, exactly.
Last thing we want to do is to put out a irritating and annoying and useless podcast. So
there's plenty of those out there.
Yeah, I don't want to have to delete my own show from my iTunes subscription list.
Right.
So please give us that feedback. We would certainly enjoy that. That's going to do it for the week.
Yeah, super excited about upcoming Vegas, super excited about how well the show is going, and great show.
Yeah, thanks. We'll see you next week.
See ya.